Podcasts from the Cochrane Library, the latest evidence for healthcare decision-making.
Hello, I'm David Tovey, Editor-in-Chief of the Cochrane Library. Dr. Nandi Siegfried, a public health specialist from South Africa, describes how recent evidence from randomized trials has led to a change in the conclusions of a systematic review for the effects of male circumcision in preventing heterosexual acquisition of HIV in men.
Male circumcision is the removal of the foreskin of the penis. It may be done at birth in accordance with religious beliefs, as a rite of passage into manhood, or for medical reasons. Circumcision can be conducted using standard surgical techniques or by traditional means, which may or may not involve aseptic practices. In the late 1980s, researchers proposed that male circumcision may protect men, particularly heterosexual men, from acquiring the human immunodeficiency virus, the virus which leads to AIDS, the acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. Circumcision may help to protect against HIV by removing cells in the foreskin to which the virus is specifically attracted. These cells are called Langerhans cells, and they have receptors that enable HIV to enter the body. When we first did this review in 2003, there were three ongoing randomized trials and too much uncertainty to make recommendations for practice or for policy. Those trials have now been completed, and we have updated the review to make all the evidence available in one place. It shows that circumcision does reduce the risk of acquiring HIV. The three trials are from South Africa, Uganda, and Kenya. They were done between 2002 and 2006 and recruited just over 11,000 heterosexual men. In each trial, HIV-negative men were randomly allocated to be circumcised or not, and were then tested regularly for HIV. Everyone in the trials received the same education and information about strategies such as condom use, whether or not they were circumcised. And all men who were not circumcised were told that if the trial found that it was indeed effective, they would be able to ask to be circumcised for free. All of the trials were stopped earlier than anticipated because of their results. Analyses of the accumulating data during each trial found that the protective effect was great enough to warrant ending the trial. Our combined analysis provides an even stronger estimate of the effect, and we found that male circumcision in heterosexual men reduced their risk of acquiring HIV by about 54% over 2 years. We don't know if the circumcision was also effective at preventing HIV acquisition in their women partners. Adverse events following the circumcision procedure were uncommon. The trials also considered whether being circumcised influenced the sexual behavior of the men. In the South African trial, circumcised men had more sexual partners than those who were not circumcised when this was assessed at 12 and 21 months after the procedure. This was a statistically significant result. But in the Kenyan and Ugandan trials, no significant differences were observed in the sexual behavior of circumcised and uncircumcised men. When we assessed the quality of the trials, we judged that the potential for significant biases was low to moderate, given the large number of men in the research, the similarities between the men in the circumcision and no circumcision groups when they joined the studies, and the use of acceptable rules to stop the trials. In summary, there is therefore strong evidence that medical male circumcision reduces the acquisition of HIV by heterosexual men by between a third and two-thirds over 24 months. Adverse events are uncommon, indicating that male circumcision, when conducted under aseptic conditions, is a safe procedure. Policymakers can consider adding male circumcision to HIV prevention guidelines, but research should be done to assess the feasibility, desirability, and cost-effectiveness of implementing the procedure within local contexts. Attention must be given to the way in which the message is promoted to ensure that men understand that even when they have been circumcised, they still need to practice safe sex by using condoms and ideally being faithful to one partner. It is also important that new research is done to establish whether male circumcision leads to benefits for the women partners of circumcised men and for homosexual men.
You can read more about the effects of male circumcision by following the link to this review on www.cochrane.org. When information from new research comes available, perhaps on the effect of male circumcision on preventing acquisition by women or gay men, that's also the place to go to find the updated review.